Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in. This episode is sponsored by our friends at Highway. Highway combines MBS Highway, List Reports, and Home Report to give mortgage professionals everything they need to win more business. From making complex economic data easy to explain, to sending out eye-catching co-branded materials, to helping clients feel confident about buying a home, Highway has the tools to make you the go-to expert in your local market. Visit highway.ai to learn more.
All right. We'd like to welcome everybody to another episode of Lending Forward. Luckily, I've got my hat on, so I am ready to go and super excited to be welcoming a true friend and guest of the program. And you know, I think we've worked together. We've spent time together. Barry Habib. And if you know Barry, you know he is one of the top prognosticators in the country, has won numerous awards. Barry, I can't even count all of the crystal ball awards that you've won, but it's always great to hear your messages, see you on TV. It's also very validating. I know that, like, when we work with you and then seeing you out working with everybody else as well, it's kind of like that safety in numbers. We know that we partner up with the right person. And always appreciate you leaning into the information that you give in such a way that makes it so reliable, but also so understandable for everybody. And it's been great to see your ride through your career and how it's helped our entire community and industry continue to thrive. So without further ado, Barry, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Bill. Yeah, it is a great relationship and friendship. Heck, we're like family. I love the people at Atlantic Bay. Your whole team is just amazing. So thank you. Yeah. Just a couple of weeks ago, was blessed with winning my fourth crystal ball in the last 7 years for being the most accurate forecaster by Fannie Mae and Zillow. So that's what was quite the honor for me.
Fantastic. Now, I assume when you're getting these, do you have to get a bigger house to keep up with all these awards or bigger showcase? I know you've had a number over the years. So is any one of them more special than the other?
Oh, they're all so meaningful to me. This is the work that we all put in. We have a great team, so it's a big team effort. But we also have our subscribers to thank because they give us a lot of feedback, and that does help us try to come up with modeling that works. And that's the real big thing here, is that it's not so much to get a pat on the back for that, but it just shows that the modeling that we are using is very, very valid, and it can help all of us. So we could say with a lot of confidence what our feelings are towards the housing market and interest rate environment going forward.
Hey, I want to stay on that for a second. So when you talk about the modeling and forecasting and the systems and processes that you use, I know you're a big proponent that if we're in this industry, right, we've got to be using something, ourselves. So, when you talk to mortgage bankers and you're out of mastermind events or think tanks and things like that, are you telling everyone that, they've got to start their day with knowing their business and whether it's, MBS Highway or the great resources that you all have, are you telling them like, hey, you've got to know your numbers and know things like this? What do you say to them?
Well, it's, look, if you're in sales, we always say this, but the fastest way to increase your income is just close more of the opportunities that you have. If I'm in construction, I have certain tools. If I'm a professional athlete, I'm going to use certain tools. Well, if you're in sales, really your tools are your words. And what's really critical about that is that you have to make a decision if you're in the business of information or if you're in the business of wisdom. So the first interactions with a client are very meaningful because as they're deciding through their shopping process, clearly one of the things that they go with is price. But even more importantly, perhaps than price, is, are we gaining wisdom? Are we gaining the ability to have the advice that's given to us cause us to make decisions that can be much more meaningful? Now, when we think about a home purchase, the wrong advice on the best price is far more expensive than a competitive rate that you would receive if you're in the mortgage business on advice that can create lots of wealth for you. So that's what we focus on. And there's a lot going on every day. I mean, goodness gracious, the volatility over tariffs, the moves in the stock market, the things that our Treasury Secretary says, all of these things impact trading on a day-to-day basis. Our clients depend on us. Real estate agents hear this all the time. Mortgage professionals hear this all the time. Client, if they start to like you, they're like, hey, you know, this is a good decision to buy the home. This is a good time. I may be hearing some negativity within the media. How are you responding to that? When they ask you, which way do you think rates are headed and what impact would that have on me? How are you responding to that? I mean, you know, those questions are coming, but yet it's amazing to me that so many people wing it. And so many people, they know this pitch is coming at them and yet they're unprepared for it. They just strike out over and over and over and not take advantage of it. I mean, think about, you know, we know in professional baseball, you aren't supposed to know what the pitcher is going to throw you. And if you've ever played baseball, you know how hard it is to hit a baseball, but it becomes incredibly easier if you know if it's going to be a off-speed pitch or a fastball. I mean, if you know that, right, your hitting goes off the charts, right? But mortgage professionals, real estate agents, they already know the pitch is coming. It's legal to know the pitch is coming, but yet they aren't brushing up on their skills to hit home runs every time. They're winging it and thus striking out and missing the opportunity to increase the amount of income they make by the simplest way, close more of the opportunities they already have.
That's a perfect analogy. And, you know, when you think about it, just when you're talking about people, they're going to ask you that question. So first, is there any room that you walk into where that's not the first thing people are asking you? Is like, Barry, what are rates going to do? What are rates going to do? I'm sure that is the question that you know because of the field that you're in. So I would, mortgage bankers, same thing, right?
Yeah, there's not a mortgage professional out there that wants people to know. I mean, it's a simple thing to respond to. If you're introduced to somebody, say, I'm in the mortgage business, the next question is, oh, so how are rates doing? Where are rates headed? Or how's the real estate market? You're going to be asked that. That's just a normal reaction. And it's shocking to me that people are ill-prepared to answer the question that they know is coming. Here's a great opportunity to hit a home run, to knock it out of the park, to gain trust, gain confidence, gain referrals, and gain transactions.
It's funny. I was looking at... I think it was on social media the other day. I think it was probably Facebook. And I saw a post where someone had used one of the captions from MBS Highway to show kind of the whole candlestick. And the amount of views that they got, again, because they kind of positioned themselves, you know, as the resident expert, was super high. And I was just thinking, like, you know, more and more people right now, there's lots of questions out there and we have to position ourselves as the trained professionals that can give the answers, right?
There's a big difference, Bill, again, between information and wisdom. Information we expect to get for free. You know, you Google something, I'm not paying per Google search, right? So that's free. But wisdom is something people pay for. And that's the difference. Any salesperson has to make the decision, am I in the wisdom business or the information business? And that can make a very big difference in their career path.
So on, when you think about wisdom right now, and you're looking at the market, 2025 it's been an interesting year so far. So I know that you've done an economic forecast for us, and I think that you've done several around the country. Right now, what's kind of keeping you up at night when you look at the landscape out there?
Well, I think that there's so much uncertainty right now, and uncertainty can cause a lot of volatility, and we certainly have experienced that of late. We see lots of volatility within the equity markets, within the bond markets. So it means you have to be nimble, you have to be on your toes, and you want to capture opportunities. If you were to look at a chart of interest rates, we have been teased several times back in August and September and again in March, where interest rates reached pretty attractive lower levels, but they were pretty fleeting. So how are we prepared for that? What I would say is, and I will be more than happy to give you my thoughts on the real estate and interest rate environment, you know, for the remainder of the year and what we see ahead. But I want you to think about your interaction with a customer. And if I were in the mortgage business today, and I was for over 20 years, so if I were in the business today, what I would tell the client is that, look, my job doesn't end when you close. It kind of begins, because I'm going to monitor the market for you and continue to fight for the opportunities that come up. So let's establish something like called a strike rate, which means if it hits this level, and I'll show you the history of how fleeting it is, days, a week, a couple of days, I don't want you to miss out on that, because what that means is that if you could save $200, $300, maybe more dollars per month, you know, you think about that, that's $3,000 or more, $3,600 a year, maybe over 5 years, $15,000, $18,000, $20,000. I don't want you to miss that because we were asleep at the wheel for a couple of days and maybe someone else would be. But I expect you to be doing what you do every day. You've got a family, you've got kids, you've got your job, you've got your life, you've got your own responsibilities. My responsibility after you close is to be on guard for those opportunities for you and to take advantage of them so you don't miss out on the free $20,000 over a 5 year period. So you don't lose that because you were too late for just a day or two by the time you found out. So that's my job for you. That's my commitment.
Right. And that works in every economy. It works in every state of, you know, of our industry. And it seems like it's such an easy message to relay to people and get them to engage in that. But it's still one of our hardest things. I think, you know, we always talk about you want to be their mortgage banker or their realtor for life. And, you know, and that doesn't happen. So I like how you put that of, you know, we've got to kind of show them that path. Of it's not always the huge things that happen. It can be those incremental steps too. When you talk about like kind of, the incremental steps that are out there that are happening in the market right now, what are those changes that you're seeing kind of when we're looking at the housing industry and we're saying, okay, is 2025 going to be is it going to be one of our best years? Is it going to be one of our worst years? When you're looking at all that, what's kind of going through your mind?
So here's the way that we should be looking at this. The housing market truly has to be looked at two separate ways. The housing market, you could look at it as far as transaction volume. 2024 was not so good. It was 4 million units. That's a very low level given the population and given the amount of homes, 136 million homes, 91 million are owned. That's a very low turnover. And that's driven by the fact that interest rates are much higher. We all understand that. And pricing is also elevated. So we understand those things. But we think that that will improve as interest rates come down. And we've already seen them since the beginning of the year. We're down about 0.5% in interest rates. We forecasted rates would go from 7 to 6. We got about halfway there. We think that we can get to about 6% in mortgage rates, maybe even lower if things pan out. But that would mean a lot more volume of transactions, maybe a 15% increase, which would be rather significant. But even more so, if you were to look at those 4 million homes last year, well, if you're on the mortgage side, only about 2.85 million of those had a mortgage. So that was the mortgage universe of purchases in 2024. You know, if rates get to our target of 6, and I have reason to believe that they will, well, now you actually have 6 million transactions that become refi eligible. Now, will all of them refinance? They won't know to. But if you're alerting them, all of your clients will refinance. And if you think about the volume there, that's 6 million transactions, where on the purchase side, there was only 2.85 million that was done in all of 2024. Here's 6 million plus the purchase side that become available. So you could see a rather sharp uptick in volume if you're prepared for the opportunity. Now, Bill, the way we see the housing market is we know that one of the levers certainly is interest rates. That's an important one. But we also have to remember that almost 40% of the market owns their home free and clear. And I think a lot of people miss that. And we were able to be very good with this in our forecasting models, because what does that tell us? It tells us that those individuals are really insulated from higher interest rates because they don't really need a mortgage. Or if they take one, it'll be very small. Their influence of a higher rate environment will definitely be immune to it. So therefore, you'll still get 40% of the market almost making purchases on that. Now, it also means that what we had seen in the past when free and clear purchases were a much smaller degree, and when the loan to values where people had less equity in homes, you'd see, and when interest rates decline, a much sharper rise in volume. So it mutes it to both sides because of the low loan to values, high equity position, and the large amount of people that own their home free and clear. It mutes the upside reaction to interest rate drops, and it mutes the downside reaction to interest rate rises. So this is important. Now, that said, we think there's reason to believe we get 6% on mortgages. And that's because our target from a technical basis on the 10-year treasury is about 3.8%. We hit 3.88 last week, and you know, that was quite a favorable thing. Now we're closer to about 4.20. So then, of course, it's going to change every day. But I think as the year goes on, we should gravitate towards those lower levels. And then the spread between the 10-year and mortgage rates probably starts to approach a little bit more normality. I spoke to Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent in person, and he thinks that once the bank deregulation deal is done, that will help mortgage spreads come down. So these are both favorable. And speaking to Scott Bessent, our Treasury Secretary, he also mentioned that he intends to have less issuance of 10-year treasuries. That'll help interest rates come down. He also feels that DOGE, in whatever savings that they can come up with, and I'm not saying DOGE good, DOGE bad, anything, I know it's controversial, but just strictly from the point of view of if there are cost savings involved, well, that means less treasuries have to be issued. That can help interest rates as well. Now, the job market, we're looking at the job market showing some signs of softness. We already saw the unemployment rate tick up to 4.2 from 4%. That continues to move up. That will help interest rates. Inflation has been coming down very grudgingly, but we think you'll start to see inflation make some minor improvements over time, tariffs notwithstanding, but let's remember tariffs are one-time price adjustment, not persistent inflation. All these things lead us to believe that interest rates may be a little bit more favorable. Now, add that favorability of interest rates to a real estate market, which still has relatively tight supply. Yes, some supply has improved, but from historically low levels. If you were to look pre-pandemic, we're still about 25% less inventory than pre-pandemic while population has grown. And, you know, like anything else, you know, supply and demand, right? So we are forming about 1.8 million households per year. That's what the average has been in the last 5 years.
Okay.
And the future tells us, Bill, that we probably will continue along that path based on demographics. So we need 1.8 households a year built, but we're only building closer to 1.5 million. That imbalance should support home prices.
Now, you mentioned the big word, tariffs. So fan, not a fan, where do you feel that it's going to have the impact that we're, you know, that this administration's hoping for?
Well, you know, I have spoken to Howard Lutnick a couple of times, and I asked him point blank a few weeks back about the tariffs. He says, is it more of a negotiating tool? He said, no, we're serious. We want the revenue. So that changed our thinking on it to understand what's in their head. So it's not up to us. We don't know if it's good, it's bad. And you know, you could talk to a lot of people. Some people will say it's bad. Some people say it could be good. It's like a Rubik's Cube. Any way you turn it, there are things that are very hard to see that can change potentially positively, potentially negatively. So I think that the increase in the amount of tariffs brings on a real possibility of a recession. The odds of a recession have increased dramatically because the way that a tariff works, it's like a tax. The tax is paid by the importer. So think about it, Bill. If you go to your local store and you go to buy something and there's sales tax on it, you pay that sales tax right away. So as soon as the tariff is put in place, those sales tax has to be paid. So let's just use some round numbers here. Let's just say it's 20%. Okay, I'm just going to use a round number. So I'm buying a widget. It's $1,000 or $100. And there's a 20% tariff. So now it used to cost me 100, cost me 120. That's the importer. Now the importer thinks, do I have the ability to pass along that $20 increase? Because I might not, there might not be an appetite. I might make no sales at 120.
Right.
That extra 20, I should say, increase. So that's something I have to think about. So the importer may eat some and shrink margins. That's a possibility. Now, you don't sell it for what you're buying it for, do you? There's profit made on it. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, Vietnam and China, we get clothing, we get t-shirts. What's the markup on clothing and t-shirts by the time the importer gets it to the time it's sold? Is it 2 times? Is it 3 times? Is it 4 times? Is it 5 times? I mean, some of these things cost you $1 and they're being sold for $20. Okay. So the tariff is on the dollar. It's a 20-cent tariff on a $20 item. You don't have to worry about that. Now, sometimes the profit margin is very small, 10%. So that means that you're having most of the burden of that tariff. And then the other things you have to think of, is there any manufacturing that goes here? Is there sales commission? Those things don't get tariff. You know, if there's components that have to be assembled with it, but domestic components don't get tariffed. So while 20% seems large, it doesn't mean you're going to see a 20% increase in prices all over. It's probably closer to 4 or 5%. And I'm not saying it's insignificant. I'm saying people aren't thinking about this. The media is blitzkrieging this thing all over the place. And I think when we just stop and think, what does it mean? It's a one-time price adjustment, whether you think it's good or whether you think it's bad. The path we were on, if we're adults about this, we have to realize something. All that's been done is kicking the can down the road. And the path that we were on was completely unsustainable, Bill. You cannot continue to have the deficits grow the way they are. And so, okay, so what do? Do you cut Social Security? Who's going to do that? Do you cut Medicare? Medicaid? Who's going to do that? Do you cut defense? Does it weaken ourselves? What can we do there? The amount of discretionary income after interest on the debt, you can't cut that. So the amount that's left over that can be cut isn't all that much. Maybe you can be smart and make some changes. Great. Okay, so let's do taxes. Well, if you tax income to a greater extent, or you tax businesses to a greater extent, they become less competitive. They hire less people. People, if you tax their income, remember, you could say, well, let's tax the top 10%. All the statistics show the top 10% is keeping this economy going right now. So if you put an enormous tax burden on them, first of all, it's not enough money, even if you took all their income, to reduce the debt, to eliminate the deficit. Even if you said, okay, you get 100% tax, might as well not show up at work. We still can't close the gap. So what can you do? It's very hard to do this because it's been years and years of kicking the can down the road and we're left with no good choices. Now, what is a tariff? A tariff is essentially like a VAT tax. If anybody's traveled to other countries, it is very common for them to have a value-added tax. This means it's like a sales tax on every, it's a consumption tax. That would probably be unpopular here, but this in essence is a version of that only on imported items where you're paying a VAT tax. I'm not saying it's good or I'm not saying it's bad, and it certainly will slow economic activity, but we have to try to address this deficit. Otherwise, we will be leaving ourselves in much, much, much worse shape down the road, and you will have a collapse of the system.
Yeah, you know, and how you said about kind of kicking the can, right? It's not red or it's blue. It's not one administration or another. I mean, it's been going on for a very long time.
Both sides.
Yeah, and so we're here, but you know, in the industry that we're in the housing industry, it's. I think I was watching something the other day, and it was talking about, and actually Barry may have been you that said it, that about the housing market has only had a decline in value. I think it was
five out of the 85 years that we've seen. Only five out of 85 years. And that was really due predominantly to the housing bubble period where loans were being done, Bill, as you know, pretty irresponsibly. I don't blame anyone. There was just too much capital coming in that needed a home, and hedge funds really had a lot to do with it. So, you know, when you look at the last 85 years, prices have gone up 80 out of 85, and the 5 years it went down all concentrated in one area. So it's a very good investment in real estate. It's a investment that's been tried and true and proven. But look, here's the getting back for a minute here to the tariff situation and having to try to do something. The analogy that I like to use is this. If an individual doesn't exercise and is in not good cardiovascular shape, there's, you know, things that they need to do. And the doctor says, hey, if you start exercising, you'll get better. If you don't, you're going to just continue to get worse. And then, you know, really bad things can happen. Starting an exercise program is hard, right? And you're going to have muscle soreness and you're not going to feel great. And you'll probably go to the gym a little bit kicking and screaming. Well, that's almost what we're doing here. We're kicking and screaming and you see it in the media. It doesn't feel good. You may even have to withstand a period of time for a quarter or two of recession-like conditions. But if the end result is that we are much more physically fit going forward, well, perhaps it's not a bad idea.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, we will keep our fingers crossed and hope that your crystal ball proves to be right again on
and,
that.
And again, Bill, I want to make clear, I'm not trying to root for what I'm rooting for our country to do good always. Right. And all I'm trying to do is say, what could be in the minds of the individuals? You could disagree. You could agree. But I think we can all agree they're not ignorant. They're not stupid. Yeah. These are people that have been very, very successful in whatever businesses they've been in. Maybe they've had some failure or something, but overall they've had a lot of success. And I'm talking about, you know, Scott Bessent, one of the most revered people in the financial world. Howard Lutnick, one of the most revered people in the financial world. And there's so many smart people. And a lot of this is being driven by a guy, Stefan Moran, by the way. And if you look up Stefan Moran, he's brilliant, but he's the one that's, this is his playbook. So these are all really brilliant people. Could they be wrong? Of course they could be wrong. But what I'm trying to say is that it's easy to criticize and poke holes and look at the media saying and just jump on the bandwagon and say, oh, they're stupid. They're not stupid. They could make mistakes because we all can, but they may, and that's what I'm trying to think about. I'm right. Saying, what are they thinking? What are they seeing that perhaps is not obvious that might be the reason for them to be taking these steps? And they've done it rather, in a shocking fashion. I guess I would have preferred to see it a little more gradual, but maybe there's reasons why they wanted to do it that way. I am not behind the scenes to understand what those discussions were.
Well, I think the other thing too, that you've always been very good at, Barry, is you've got to control what you can control. So yes. I right now I agree that, as a consumer, as a human, as an American, as, father, husband, all the things. I've got a lot of concern, but I do think that, again, it's like, I'm still going to show up to work each day. So I've got to be an advisor. I've got to educate myself on the situation. And then I've got to look at the industry that I'm in, which is the housing industry, and say, okay, how can I prepare myself and my customers for what, for what's ahead and what we have?
I will say this, Bill, thank goodness we're in the mortgage and housing industry, because during recessionary periods and during these times like this, mortgage and housing does very, very well. Interest rates typically decline. They will be the beneficiary. And if you look at the last 50 years, all the recessions we've had, home values go up during recessions, except one time during the financial crisis.
Right.
That's because of the underwriting guidelines was no income, no asset, no job, right. No down payment, 580 FICO score, fog up a mirror, you're approved.
So right.
We don't do that anymore. But aside from that period of time, why does housing always go up in value during recessions? Recessions cause interest rates to decline because of the economic slowdown. That helps to generate activity. And what you see is you see more buying, you see upside pricing pressure. So they become opportunities for us instead of something we should run from.
Well, I definitely, and I hope that our listeners kind of take that a little bit as a challenge to, sharpen the sword and make sure that you're educating yourself on your business, on how the things that are happening today impact our business. And again, how we can be that true advisor to our customer, because I do think, just like you put before, but 5 out of the 85 years, we can help guide our clients, through this, as long as, again, that we're preparing ourselves. So I know
I didn't give you this, Bill, but maybe we'll kind of start to wrap with this, is that our forecast for real estate across the United States. Now, remember, Bill, when you give a forecast across the United States, we are wise enough to understand that every single market, every single zip code is going to have a different set of circumstances. But when you say, okay, what's your forecast for U.S. housing? You're blanketing, you're giving an average. Our average is 4.1% appreciation this year. So that's what we look at. And you can make a lot of money with that. On a $500,000 house, that's over $20,000 in profitability that you'd earn. So, this is a good forecast. It's a solid forecast. It's not like we're over our skis and unsustainable. This is a very good forecast that we could see a lot of wealth created over the next year.
Hey, 4% in a market where people have felt the challenges that they have, I think everybody would take that, right?
Well, not only that, but it's a great way why most people create wealth through real estate, is because think about it this way. You might say 4%, I could probably get more than that in the stock market or here or there. Well, just remember there's leverage. When you buy a home, oftentimes there's a mortgage on it, right? So if you buy a home with a 10% down payment, that 4% means you're earning 40% on your equity that you put in the home. That's how you create real magical wealth.
Well, Barry, you've always done a great job, you and your team, of helping people recognize this opportunity that we have out there. And, as we wrap up, every time I talk with you, it's kind of like the time flies. It felt like we were only talking 10 minutes, but I looked at the time and I know that you've got a busy day ahead of you. It wouldn't be a show if we didn't end with asking you, how do you plan to lend it forward this year? So with that, give me your best shot on that one.
Well, we want to just get better every day, right? I mean, we owe that to ourselves and we owe that to our clients. So you know, as you potentially are listening to some of this and saying, well, Barry, that might be easy for you to say because you've been studying this. Well, the truth of the matter is these are all learned behaviors. I mean, you think about the skills that you have learned and the things you do every day that you kind of take for granted. I mean, heck, even driving a car. Remember the first time you got behind the wheel of a car? It's okay, wait a minute, how do I do this? And then I got to put a signal on. How do I, you know, it's quite confusing, but now you do so effortlessly. It's the same here. It's that if you want to get better at something, just work on it. There are tools out there. I mean, you know, people that are part of MBS Highway know you just watch our daily update every day, and it becomes part of second nature where you begin to speak that way. Practice it. You know, really work on that, because again, I want to say that as we want to increase our income by making sure that we close more of those opportunities, understand we're in the wisdom business instead of the information business, while that certainly benefits us, lending it forward is where it helps our customer, where it helps the people we talk to, where it helps our friends, our family. By having that level of knowledge and wisdom, by sharing it with others, that's how I think you lend it forward.
That's fantastic. I mean, I couldn't have hoped for a better answer. And as always, truly appreciate you coming on, all things that you've done with us and our group over the years. You know, we do truly appreciate the partnership and the guidance. So
there's so much love for you guys, brother.
Yeah. Keep getting well. I know that most of your fans know that that you're out there fighting a good fight and have some challenges on your own. Great to see you doing good and keep getting better, my friend.
Thank you. A lot of love, brother.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram @LendingForward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Catch us every other Thursday with a brand new episode, and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.